message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations, God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Last year, 2020, roundabout fall sometime, the pandemic had gone on for a while, as you know, and I walked into one of my favorite Vietnamese restaurants. Actually, it's the only one I go to. And so I walked in, and up until this point, the owner and I had always just exchanged pleasantries. Hello, how are you doing? Thank you for coming to us today. And for me, it was always just a pickup for my food. But this day, as I looked at him and exchanged these pleasantries, I noticed this look on his face of despair. And so I was prompted within me to ask him what was wrong. And he shared with me how the pandemic had wreaked such havoc in his business. He said, "Man, this COVID-19 has really destroyed or is ripping apart my business. Look around." And I looked around and I was the only customer in the store, and it was very early evening. And then he went on to explain the different things that had been happening. He said, "You know, produce is scarce for the foods that I'm serving, and so I need to hike up the prices a little bit, and the customers don't like the increased prices, and so they don't come. Or they come, my customer base now is very little. My rent is increasing. I'm going to have to give this up soon, but if I give this up, I can't support my family. I'm not breaking even. I'm not making a profit." And as he continued with his story, I was prompted within me to pray for him, and not just pray a prayer inside my head, but boldly pray for him out loud. And so I addressed him and I said, "Brother, may I pray with you?" I had never addressed him as brother before. But I said, "Brother, may I pray with you?" And he looked at me and he said, "You want to pray with me?" And he looked around, and as he looked around, one customer had come in, and he greeted the customer, invited him to sit down. He goes, "You want to pray with me?" I said, "Yes." And as I looked around and I noticed statues that suggested the faith that he might be practicing, I felt a little bit intimidated, but I thought, no, today I'm going to introduce him to my God. And so he said, sure, you can pray with me or pray for me. And so he kind of retreated just a little bit into himself, and I knew that he wanted me to keep the prayer as quiet as possible. And so I prayed for him. I prayed about his finances, the business, his family. And then I ended. And when I tell you that before we prayed, the look on his face had been despairing. After we finished praying, the look on his face had changed. From despair to perhaps hope. And he thanked me, and I went on my way. In the year that has followed of 2021, I have popped in several times. And he always greets me with a smile, and I always say, "Hey, brother, I'm praying for you." And although his finances and his business has still somewhat remained the same, his outlook on life has improved. What can these experiences, I call them divine experiences, what can these experiences of connection do for those whom we share God with, even for those few minutes? What can it do for them? And how do we experience God in return? Father God, anoint my lips as I share you today, Father. As we open your word and discover how we can experience new life with you as we seek to connect and draw others to you, Father. Be with my words today. Let them be yours. In your name, amen. Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church is embarking on a new journey this year of 2022. Some of you may be familiar with it, as you may have heard it every so often in what we have talked about. We are embarking on a journey called Simple Church, in which we are seeking to do church simply, a little more simply than we have done it. And I will not go through the steps that we are doing, because you will see and experience it as we pray over what God is impressing us to do. You will see the moves as we do them. We simply ask for your prayer as we strive to walk how God is asking us to lead. However, I will share with you the simple church motto that Plantation has adopted, which is connect, grow, serve, and go. Connect, or perhaps reconnect to our members. Connect to our new members. Connect to our church family. And connect to the community around us and those whom we walk amongst. Grow together with our church family and grow with the community around us. Serve together with our church family and serve with and amongst the community around us. And together go with our church family and the community whom we now know is experiencing God with us, and go to share God with all around. Connect, grow, serve, and go. But perhaps let us just stick to the first word here, which is connect. How do we connect to those around us? Let me share with you this experience. I believe I did share this experience in a previous sermon, but if you have not heard that sermon yet, then you will hear this for the first time. I had gone to a nail salon early last year of 2021. And as we do, as us women do, as we're getting our nails done, we talk to the nail tech. And in our conversation, the conversation, of course, broached the general subjects and then soon turned to family. And the regular questions were being asked of me, how many kids did I have? And of course, as I explained, and her eyes grew when I told her I had 5 kids, and I shared with her some antics about my children. And then the question turned to her, well, how many children do you have? And then her expression changed, and she says, no, I don't have any children. In fact, my husband and I have been trying for children. I have lost in the womb several babies, and I recently miscarried my child. And I could see the sadness overcome her. And she said, so, I don't know. I do want children. I still want children one day. And so in trying to be uplifting, I said, well, you know that there are other ways, right? I mean, someone could be a surrogate for you. There could be adoption. And as I was giving out the options, she was firm. She said, no, my husband and I, we want our own. And so again, I had the prompting to pray for this woman. And so I said to her, may I pray with you? And again, the same reaction. She looked around the salon. I said, you want to pray with me? I said, let me pray for you. And she said, okay. And I took her hands, and over the table we prayed. I prayed for her barren womb. I prayed for her heart and her emotions. I prayed for her and her husband. I prayed for the loneliness that she felt in all of this. And she had given me her name, and it was Holly. And I said, Father, be with Holly. We finished our prayer. She looked up again, and I'm sure in her mind, hoping that people hadn't really noticed that our heads hadn't been bowed for 2 or 3 minutes. And then I stood up to tip her and leave. And I said, all right, I'll be praying for you, Holly. And I walked away, and she called me back. She said, hold on. I want to tell you my real name. And she gave me her real name. She said, I want you to put my real name on this list that you have, my prayer list. And I realized what happened then. See, when you connect people to Jesus, even for a few moments, they experience God like you won't know. And when you do so, something happened to Holly in that prayer in which she chose now to give me her real name. See, Holly was the name that she used for customers and co-workers that worked with her. It was her pseudonym. But now the mask was ripped off for her. Jesus, for that moment, became a little more real to her, and she wanted her real name to be placed at the feet of Jesus on the list of prayers that I had. And so I said, all right, I will put your name there. Now, I went back to check on her on our recent visit to Hawaii for my sister's memorial service. And as I passed by the shop window and looked in, I couldn't see her. I don't know if Holly still works there. I don't know anything about Holly's life from the day that I left her and prayed over her in person. I can tell you that she's continued to be on my prayer list. But here's the thing. you don't know. As you seek to experience God and share God with others, even for that 1 or 2 minutes that He brings someone new to your life, you don't know how that will affect them. You just know that for that time, this is what you can do. This is what God is calling to you to do. This is how you can help others experience God and connect them to our Father. And then you have your own experience to share. See, we cannot share God until we know God ourselves, until we have experienced God working in our lives, until we have experienced Him, we cannot share. I can't share with you what just happened until I experienced what God has done for me. This is the give and take that we have. I look now before me, and I'll tell you what I see. Apart from the very skeleton crew that we have in our sanctuary, I am looking at 4 of our members here who are 5 who are working the cameras and computers, and I know that there's 1 or 2 more back there. That's 7. Apart from that, I am looking at an empty sanctuary. The reality is that COVID has finally hit us. The reality is in that as much as we were prepared in 2021, in 2020 going into 2021, as much as we had refined and prepared ourselves and had done virtual services and live streaming, the reality is that we had hoped and prayed that even though a couple of our family members or friends or acquaintances may have come down with COVID, during that last year and a half, nothing had hit us. And so perhaps in some ways, Plantation, we thought that we were invincible. But the reality is that COVID-19 is here. The reality is that some of our members and participants have fallen sick. The reality is that 1 or 2 people have visited the hospital for COVID-related symptoms. I know one member who is in there for pneumonia. My father, right now, is in Hawaii, in hospital, with COVID and pneumonia. And although he's not a Plantation member, he's mine. The reality is that we don't know when our doors will open again. We pray that our doors will open for in-person service as early as next week. But being transparent with you, the reality is that we are striving to protect everybody. And we don't know what is going to happen. The reality is that this is church now. And no matter how many times we open the church and then have to close it again in the future, this is our new reality. This is how we're doing church, open or closed. And so the reality is we now have to look at how our paradigm has shifted and how we are going to do church, to have church, to worship in different ways. So let me pose to you a question. Although you may be dutifully sitting in front of your TVs and computers being at church today, are you doing church? Are you calling your friends, your other relatives, or your members here at church and connecting? Are you saying, hey, how are you doing? I heard you're sick. Or, hey, we can't meet today, but I want to make sure you are okay. Hey, even though we can't meet, let's go to a park and sit 6 feet apart and let's just catch up on life. I'm going to ask you, could you start now forming these connections? Because the reality is we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But we do know that we cannot let the things, the diseases, everything of this earth keep us from worshiping and seeking our God. Therefore, we must look for new ways to worship, do church, and experience God. How do you experience God through connection? How do you open yourself up? See, in order for us to connect to others, we need to be able to be open and receptive to the hurts that are happening around us, to the hurts that people, and I mean everyday people just like you and me who we are walking amongst, we need to be able to be receptive to their pain and open to connecting with them on a spiritual level. I was in Walmart, and I'm telling you all these places, restaurant, nail tech, Walmart, and then the one that I'll be sharing with you next is Sam's Club. All these places, as you can see, are not on church grounds. In fact, about 95% of my experiences with connecting with others and showing them a little piece of Jesus doesn't happen on church grounds. It happens everywhere else. Perhaps this is how God is using me. I'm not sure how God may be calling you to witness. But I was in Walmart and I was in line getting ready to check out, and I could overhear the cashier's conversation with another worker that was next to her. And she was explaining how much she needed this job, how much that this job, if she got it, would help her family more, and how she really needed to pass this test. And so, again, I felt that impression, and as I was about to bag up and walk out, but I'm like, no, I'm going to talk to her. And I turned around and I said, I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. Do you mind telling me more? And she did a little bit, explaining the testing that she needed to go through and explaining that she really needed this job. And she was trying to keep it hush-hush because she didn't want to get fired at Walmart. Perhaps she could hold two jobs. And so I offered to pray for her right there. And she said, oh, you want to pray for me right here? Okay, sure. And no hesitation, she bowed her head and I began to pray for her. And I prayed, of course, for the new job that she was hoping for the testing that she was going to go through. And we ended the prayer. And then she looked at me and she said, wow. She goes, I don't know what's going to happen, but she said, who are you? And I said, I'm just a person who overheard your conversation. Obviously, you know you know God? And I said, well, yes, I do, and I'm a pastor. And she goes, ah, that's why. That's why. She goes, you know, as I saw you in line, I could tell that something was different about you, though I didn't know what. And I looked down at my clothing, and I was in jeans and a t-shirt, folks. And I said, really? Oh, okay. And she said, I hope that this prayer, I hope God hears this prayer. And next time, you know, come see me. And she pulled off the bottom part of her mask. She goes, this is my name. And hopefully, you know, the next time you see me, I'll have good news for you. But come check me out and talk to me. So I did. A month or two later, I happened to see her. And I said, hey, what happened? And she goes, well, you know, that first test didn't go too well, but then I took another test afterwards, and praise God, I got that job. And so now I have two jobs, and I can better support my family. Thank you so much for stopping me that day and for offering to pray. I said, well, I'm so glad that I could bless you in that way. Finally, a week or two before Christmas, I was walking into Sam's Club, and the worker at the front door, she's a very kind older woman, and she looked at my shirt. She said, hold on, ma'am, hold on. Before you walk in, let me read your shirt. And I was wearing a Christmas shirt with the word Christmas, but it was Christ was boldened and enlarged, and it said Christ must. And she read my shirt and she said, Christ, Christmas, but Christ. She said, Jesus Christ is the reason for the season, is he not? I said, yes, he is, ma'am. She goes, wow. She goes, I know my Jesus. And I said, I am so glad you do. And something made me stand there because I felt as if she wanted to share something with me. So she let a few other customers come through. And I said, did you want to tell me about the Jesus Christ that you know? And she goes, yes, I want to tell you about Jesus. But first, I want to know how you know about God. So I gave her just a quick rundown of how I knew God. Then she launched into her testimony. She said, I came to know God especially this year because my husband has been sick very, very badly, and I know my Bible, and I've been claiming verses and his promises, and I've prayed over God, over my husband, and my husband has gotten better. He's not 100%. But God has still healed him and restored him a little bit more than he was, and he's still with me. And so I know that God answers prayers. I am rejoicing right now over my husband and over what God has done. I said, praise God, ma'am. And she goes, and I want to hear from you. So she's pointing at me. I want to hear from you. How you know, what has Jesus done for you? What has God done for you this year? So very quickly, because customers were coming in droves, you know, December, I gave her a bullet-pointed list of how God has worked in my life. And she said, you see? She said, amen. I am so happy that I can share with somebody. I am so happy that I can share with somebody what God has done for me. I'm so happy that you are here this morning, ma'am. Have a great shopping experience. So, inasmuch, church family, as you look to connect others to Christ, you also have to be receptive for others to share with you their experience in how they experience God. And so the only way to connect with others, the only way to connect with others in this way is to know God for yourself, as I have been sharing with you. To know God for yourself and experience him for yourself so you can share. How do you do this? You do this through prayer. You might say, Pastor Jen, I pray every day. I pray 3 times a day. I open my day with prayer and in the morning, and I pray during midday, and then I pray at night. I pray, Pastor Jen, and yes, praise God that you pray, but what are your prayers? Are your prayers just 3 lines of obligatory statements that are prayer lines so that you can check off and say, I've done that today? Or is your prayer experience different in the way of truly opening that line of communication between you and the Father? It's not just your 5 or 30 minute devotional. It's not just a quick rattling of Father be with me as I drive over to XYZ today, or as I go to this place today. Prayer is opening yourself up. Let me say this one more time. Prayer is opening yourself up, opening a line of communication between you and God the Father, not only so that he can speak to you as well, but opening your heart up for change. Opening yourself up so that he can shift and change within you. Your experience may be different. Your prayer may not. God may not answer your prayer in the way that you're thinking. Your loved one may die on that hospital bed. Your loved one may not recover. But prayer and allowing God to shift and change you allows you to have a heart of acceptance, to have a heart that is willingly molded to his will, to have a heart for God that changes you from the inside, so that you can experience his inner miracle in you. And Jesus taught us how to pray to his Father. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 9. Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. And here we find the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us break this prayer down just a little bit and look a little further into how we are praying to our Heavenly Father. The Lord's Prayer begins with our Father. Our Father. These two words. Because we are all children of God. See, this prayer is not only for people in high places, for kings and queens and presidents. This prayer encompasses and is for also the beggar in the street. This prayer is given to us all. Let me emphasize this. This prayer is given to us all because our Father in heaven is Father over us all. We are all his children, therefore included in this petition and ability to all ask our Father for his help. Our Father, which art in heaven. This shows that we know where God is. And it's not just about speaking to God. It's about speaking to God, being unable to see him. So for those who do not know God yet are introduced to this prayer, for them it might be a risk, right? Who am I praying to? I cannot see him. But they pray still. We pray still. For those of us who know, we pray in faith, knowing that our Father hears. Our Father hears us in heaven. And he is real. We recognize that he has a power beyond us all. Hallowed be thy name. This is saying, we know you are holy. We respect you. We are loyal to you. We know who you are. You are God. Your name is holy. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. God will be in control forever or until the end of time. See, Matthew's gospel recognizes that the world is a scene right now of contending forces. What are these contending forces? COVID-19, the pandemic, cancer, illness, job loss, relationships broken, marriages breaking down, youth who are struggling. We are all struggling with mental health. These are all the forces that are holding us captive. These are the powers of evil that have manifested in disease of our minds and our bodies. These are what are destroying us as individuals and communities. But to pray that God's kingdom will come is to ask that God's power, the power in which he has to create, that did create the world, this same power will prevail over the forces that are threatening to destroy us. This same power will crush the enemy. This same power will redeem us and release us from sin. How does his kingdom come? We know that Jesus was sent as a baby. We know that the Messiah was enthroned on the throne through his crucifixion. We know that he was enthroned through his sacrifice and resurrection, and the promise that he will come again. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, God's will is unopposed, for there sin and death have no place. And as long as sin and death are active and moving on this earth, we are praying that God's life-giving purpose will be carried out here on earth as it is in heaven. We are making a promise that to God that we will obey his desires on here on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. This is saying that we must always rely on God to provide for us. And it says, us, give us this day, not give me this day, my daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. See, this is not just an individualistic prayer. This is a prayer said to include community. We, as we pray, must not only seek for God to provide and bless us, we must ask for God to provide and bless those around us. In Exodus, God tells Moses that each morning his manna will fall for the people. They were hungry. And each morning they had to depend on the daily bread, the manna that fell. You see, they could not collect it. They could not hoard it to save it for another day or for the next day because it would spoil. They had to collect only what they could eat for that day. Give us this day our daily bread. God is saying, trust me to provide for you this day. There is another verse in the Bible that says, do not be anxious for the cares of tomorrow. Just rest in me today. See, God is telling us, I will provide for you today. This is why we seek from him. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's not be anxious for what we do not know that tomorrow will bring. Let us just live in the hope and sustenance of you, knowing that today you are providing for us this day. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The Greek text literally asks for release from debt. And when we look at this, we often think of financial debt. Forgive us our financial debts as we forgive those who still owe us money of some sort. This is the first thing that most likely comes to our mind as we think of this line in the prayer, loaning or borrowing money. However, this verse is not talking about financial debt. Instead, this verse, this line represents a righteous and moral debt. Jesus is referring to our past sins. In the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God to forgive our sins after we forgive those who have sinned against us. Remember, we must first forgive others our mistakes, and then we can ask God to forgive us. It's not the other way around. We must let go of this collection, of this bag, of this suitcase full of past grievances, which ends up defining our relationship with the people who have hurt us, right? We need to let go of that baggage. We need to forgive them, because as long as we keep this baggage here, that baggage defines the present that we are living in. And it also closes off hope for the future. And so the term forgive us literally means release us of our debts. It means the wrongs that have occurred in our relationships no longer define our relationship. So we must forgive others and then ask God for forgiveness. Because we can't experience God's forgiveness if we cannot forgive those who have hurt us. Lead us not into temptation. This part of the verse has us asking God to guide our lives, to help keep us on the right path, to keep us walking righteously with Him. Now, it doesn't mean that we will not come against things and obstacles that will challenge our faith. But it is asking God for protection from the enemy. It is asking God for redemption as we walk this life. We are asking God to help us avoid making bad decisions and asking Him to help us live a righteous life. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Here we are telling God that we have not forgotten that everything is His, that everything belongs to Him, that He is in control of heaven and earth, that He has the power and mercy and grace, that it's all held with Him, within His hand, and that He deserves all the glory and recognition and praise for all that He has done for us. This is the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples and therefore us to pray. But then turn with me to John 17:3. It is not only the prayer that He showed us to pray. He had a desire for us to know His Father. In John 17:1, it says, I'll get to 3. It says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may also glorify You, as You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And then verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. See, God is praying, Jesus is praying that we may come into communion with Him and the Father. Jesus is praying that we may know God, that we may truly know Him, because He was sent to show who He was. And so now that He was sent as an example, Jesus is asking and is praying to His Father that we know Him. And finally, in verse 20, it does say, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be as one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me, and the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one, I in them and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as you have loved me. In John 17, Jesus prays for himself and those whom he has come to give eternal life. He prays for his disciples, whom he has anointed and taught how to preach the gospel. And then he prays for us, all believers. He desires that we know the Father as we have come to know him. He desires a unity. He desires a relationship that we come to know his Father so much that when others look at us, they see the Father. This was Jesus' desire for us as believers as he prayed to his Father, that we would come to know the Father eternally, that we would come to know him so intimately and so well that people would not be able to see where we left off and God began. That when they look at us, they want to know who God is. This is what Jesus prayed for us. The desire that we know him and his Father and the Holy Spirit, that we are one with them, that we can share. He desired that connection. He desires that we experience him like no other. And in order to connect with others, we need to experience God first. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I challenge you today. Do you want an experience with God as you've never had before? Do you want a connection with him as you never had before? We don't know what tomorrow may bring. But I do know that I desire for you to know God on a deeper level. Despite what you may have experienced in the last 2 years, despite the trials that you may be going through right now, we have been given a new day, a new year to look forward to with hope that this will be a year full of blessings. And I'm not talking financial blessings, I am talking spiritual blessings. That we can get to know God in a whole new way. This is my prayer for you, that as we strive now to connect, grow, serve, and go, that as we strive to connect as a church body to those around us, that you will connect with our Savior first so you can experience who he is in your life. Let us pray. Father God, we don't know, Father, what tomorrow may bring. We don't know the future, but you do. And we leave our lives in your hands. Father, today we may be grieving or celebrating. Wherever our emotions are, Father, Let in them be a kernel of thank you, or a basket, bushel full of thank you for bringing us through 2021. Father, may we look forward with hope to this new year before us, knowing that you have us and are carrying us all the way through. Father, as we seek you and get to know you, as we experience you, Father, give us the courage to share you with those whom we meet. Give us the courage to connect, Lord, as we have never connected before, so that your kingdom will come, Lord, so that you will come quicker to bring us home, Father. Thank you for what you have done. Father, thank you for the miracles you are working unseen. And Father, we praise you for the miracles that we are claiming and for the testimonies we know we will be sharing very soon, Father. We thank you. We love you. We thank you for your goodness. In your name we pray. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.